of now. So just remember that. Requests we have, let's see, Brother Donnie Gay says lift Brother Mark up. He's having stomach problems. Also remember Lisa, she's at home, she's got a bad cold, and my little grandson Hudson's got an ear infection. So remember him. Still remember little Rebecca and big Rebecca. Just remember that. Sister Sarah, give me one, says please pray for the nurses in Athens Regional. The hospital is full and nurses are short-staffed. And there's 40 people down there with the COVID. There's 40 COVID patients is what she says. So just remember that. Remember all the hospitals and all the things going on. Just remember that as we pray. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this evening. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling, maybe on the highways, wherever they may be. Bless them, be with them, and guide them. Be with the sick that we have mentioned. Remember little Hudson there, Lord, and Lisa is at home sick. And little Rebecca and big Rebecca there, Lord, just remember them. And Lord, all the people, Lord, that this disease has affected and the people and the people that's having to take care of them, Lord, also take care of them as we pray. Lord, remember the services, be with them. Rest of the services here, Lord, remember Way, give him strength. Lord, give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Forgive us from all of our sins. We love you for you. Many, many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Amen. God bless you tonight. I know this is a little bit of a surprise. It's a little bit of a surprise for me too. I got a text message last night about leading singing today. So, y'all just pray for me. Let's all worship the Lord together.
Amen.
And, I told Brother Joe, I sent a message to him last night. I said, I lead singing around here about as often as the cicadas show up. So, but tonight we're going to sing, number 52 in the spiral book. And, he brought me out of the miry clay. How many can say that you've been brought out of the miry clay?
Amen.
And he set you on a rock to stay.
Yes.
Amen. Let's all sing.
My heart was distressed, neath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by his grace until the crown I gain. For he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. Yes, he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of his wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him till all men his goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. Yes, He brought me out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Yes, He brought me out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah.
Amen. Let's turn to number 124. Just a closer walk with Thee.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee and just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of tolls and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who, if me my burden share? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. And just a closer walk with Thee. Jesus is my plea, and daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be, and when my feeble life is old, and time for me will be no more. Then guide me gently, safely on to Thy kingdom shore. To Thy shore, and just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
How many has that desire? Have a closer walk with Jesus. Amen. Brother Ray, do you mind helping us with the offering this evening? Amen. And as we, Brother Ray comes, we'll turn number 43 in the spiral book.
Lord Jesus, you always say, "Boy, try to do."
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. He may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed a multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry goal of now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. He may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed a multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take His bride to be ever at His side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed a multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Yes, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed a multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry call of now, come and dine.
Amen. Amen. Just flip the page over there, and we go to number 45. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. Kia G. Kia G.
Well, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Now What have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. I'm glad we got a place to lean on and a place to stand. When everything else is sinking sand, when everything else is shifting and there's no place to stand, but there's a place that we can stand. It's in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to try this song tonight. It's number 223. And Sister Esther and I, we went over this a little bit. So if we mess up, y'all just forgive us. But I love this song. It's The Token. Let the death angel pass. God's bride safe at last. How many can say that you're glad that you have been covered by His blood? There's a token that covers us, that makes us safe and secure in a world. We don't have much longer to be here, but I'm so glad that God made provisions for me.
When God spoke to Moses and told him what to say to the children of Israel in Goshen that day. Slay the lamb, take the blood, strike the post and the door. For I'll pass through Egypt this night, smite all the firstborn. Let the death angel pass, God's bride safe at last. And the token He gave, that we could be saved. Oh, hallelujah, and glory to God. Blood's been applied, His spirit abides. Let the death angel pass. Now the sweet Holy Spirit is the token today. And all that are under it, God said would be saved. Outside of this token, the lost will be found. If you want your loved ones safe, you better get them in now. Let the death angel pass, God's bride safe at last. In the token He gave, that we could be saved. Oh, hallelujah, and glory to God. The blood's been applied, His spirit abides. Let the death angel pass. Let the death angel pass, God's bride safe at last. Through the token He gave, that we could be saved. Oh, hallelujah. and glory to God. The blood's been applied, His Spirit abides, let the death angel pass. Let the death angel pass, God's bride safe at last, through the token He gave, that we could be saved. Oh, hallelujah, and glory to God. Blood's been applied, His Spirit abides, let the death angel pass.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for all of His blessings. Amen. Let's all stand this evening. Get ready to change the order of service. Let's sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You, Lord, I want to see You, to see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory, pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory, pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Thank You, Lord. You love Him today?
Amen. Oh, holy, 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 holy. See You.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Good to have all of you here, all spaced out. Paul, would that have been, don't go there. Okay. All spaced out. That's not what that meant. Anyway. Brother Paul has a sense of humor like me. It's a little odd. Sunday's the first day of the week. I wrote that right there on top of my nose. Cause I was reminded about four times Sunday that I kept saying Monday was the first day of the week. So,
right.
Sunday is the first day of the week. If I say Monday, just interpret it as Sunday. Okay. So good to be here. Good to have Brother Paul with us again. We're enjoying our fellowship together with him. And we appreciate him being here. And remember August the 1st, we have Bible study. We'll be doing our social distancing, I guess, then, too. We'll see how this goes. Brother Russ Dunker will also be with us that weekend. He's coming in on the 31st, so we are being run over by Yankees. Paul's going back, though, so we only got one at a time. That's all we can handle. Okay. Okay. But Brother Russ will be here, and Brother Paul's still going to be with us for a week or so. So we still got him for a while. We surely enjoying his conversation and his fellowship. So also remember that communion and foot washing will be that. We're going to do foot washing? Just communion. Communion will be August the 1st. And I just talked to Brother Claude. They're doing good. Said to tell everyone hello out from Oklahoma. They've some of the kids and the grandkids have got the virus, but none in his church. And thank God, because he has an older church. An older group of people. So we want to still hold everybody up in prayer.
ones that are sick and not here, the ones that are online, the ones that are at home. We're still praying. But I was reading, I just started in the book of Job this morning, and I was reading the book of Job, and I thought, we ain't got no problem. We ain't got no problem. Because, and I had not read, and I read it 1,000 times, but Brother Paul, this all happened in succession within a day. One person comes, if you read the Bible, one guy comes in, and as this guy's telling him that his kids are collapsed in the house, this next guy comes in and says, the Philistines have took all of your donkeys. And then this next guy comes in. Now, how many of us have had a day like that? No. So we can know one thing's for sure, that God knew what Job would do. God knew what Job would do. Satan was not even looking for Job. God brought it to his attention. Because you know what? I don't believe the devil knows the future. But I know God does. And he knew how Job would come out at the end and make Satan look foolish and not Job. Job got all that back plus. Amen. So we're going to pray that the Lord will help us all and that we'll be wonderfully blessed from now on. We are going to Sunday, as Brother Dale said, go ratchet it back one past this one. So if you see me after church, men, or I can go ahead and call it off now. Aaron, you going to be here Sunday? No. You and Aaron, Richard's going to be gone. Joe's still going to be gone. But me, Dad, Brother Terrence, Brother Anderson, Brother John Durrett's leading singing both services, correct? Okay, all right. Josh, Brother Tony, Brother Kern, Brother Bob's got to teach Sunday school, Brother Paul, Brother Donnie, Brother Ryan, Brother Gary Cramps, Brother Danny Fountain. So that's all that we'll have up in the sanctuary on Sunday. Sisters can, you know what? No, we're not doing Sunday school. No, we're not doing Sunday school, so we won't have to worry about that. We won't have to worry about doing Sunday school. Boyd's still going to be gone, so that's why I was putting Bob in Sunday school. Didn't even think about it. Thank you. My school teacher sister's got everything down pat. She knows how to deal with kids. Hallelujah. Amen. She keeps us all herded up. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's go ahead and get started with this. We're going to be on the Feast of Pentecost. We know what Pentecost means. It means 50. That's why they make a pentagon. It's five-sided. Okay, so let's turn to Leviticus 23. That's about all the announcements I have. God bless you. It's Wednesday. I'd rather be here than anywhere else. Amen. 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 So Leviticus 23, verse 15. Let's bow our heads and pray before we get started. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening you've given us, and we pray that you would sanctify us, Lord, for this moment of time that we're here, Lord, that trying to express what you've put down on paper and what you've given us in our heart, Lord, to speak to the people. I pray that it be done, Lord, for your honor and glory, and that you be the one that does the speaking, Lord. Take out all the mistakes, Lord, that humanity makes, Father, because we know your word is true and pure. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with the ones that are sick and not here, be with the ones that are downstairs, the ones that are outside, maybe the ones that are home. You know who they are, Lord. We pray that you would just raise them up for your honor and glory, be with each one of us. Give us your protection. As Brother Aaron was singing there, let the death angel pass. We're covered by your blood. We're covered by the token. And death cannot harm us. Death cannot harm a Christian. And nothing can come upon us unless you allow it, Lord. And it's going to be for your honor and glory if we're your children, Father. We pray that you'd just be with us, take care of us, lead us, and guide us through this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to read this, and then you can be seated. This would be the Feast of Pentecost, or it's called Shavuot, or it's called the Feast of Weeks. Now remember, look, this is not Daniel 70 weeks, because he's talking about years. Right. 70 years are determined. So we're not talking about 70 weeks, but we are talking about 7 weeks, 7 sevens. We're talking about days. All right, everybody got that? Amen. All right, because what happened is, we'll see in our chart real quick, but before I read this, you've got Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits happened, boom, boom, boom. Then you've got a period of time that you have to wait, 50 days. Well, it's called Pentecost of 50 days, but there's a significance to that. All right, there's a significance that Jesus Christ couldn't come back until that day, all right, because it would break the scripture and he wouldn't be fulfilling the feast of Pentecost. So here's the scripture, says, you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. Now what Sabbath? Saturday. All right, the morrow after the Sabbath from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. So it's tied with the Feast of First Fruits. Now remember, there's three different feasts in the feast days. There's Feast of what? Barley, wheat, and then we go on over to the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll get to that later. And it's grapes and fruit. Even until the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, so you got to count seven Sabbaths, shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Now watch, here's where it's going to get really, if you'll get a revelation, this is going to just bless your heart. Because we talk about leaven is sin. Get it out of your house. You got to have it somewhere right here to make these two loaves rise.
Right.
All right? You shall bring out, but here's the key. It didn't come from the temple. It didn't come from the altar. It came out of your house. You shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two tenths deal. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon. So you got to put it in an oven. With leaven, they are the first fruits unto the Lord. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing to the reading of the word. So let's just kind of go back through real quick. Let's go to the next one, Leviticus 23, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying to them concerning the feast of the Lord. Now remember, what these are the feast of the Lord.
Right.
They're not Israel's feast. God set these feasts up. And you know what? We're still going to be in those feast days all the way into millennium.
Right.
It'll come right back in. Now there won't be any sacrifices. There won't be any lambs die. But there will be a time where people gather together. Even in the millennium, it tells us in Ezekiel that we'll come right back to all these feasts.
Right.
But we'll not get into that because you know what? Brother Paul, we're just going to enjoy it. I just want to enjoy it. I don't care. You know, people have wondered what we're going to have at the marriage supper and wonder what we're... I really don't care. Just getting there. Yeah, whatever it is going to be good. Thank you. And Brother Paul's been... He's being southernized by some of the cooking that we're doing. Never had okra before in his life. And it's good, isn't it, buddy?
It's good.
Whew, may have that too. We can grow some okra in the millennium. I wouldn't mind that. No, I love it too, man. I planted about 80 or 90 more just the other day, so. Speaking to the children of Israel, saying to them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy, convocations, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day. Now remember, the seventh day to Israel is what? Saturday. They have a Sabbath on Saturday, which actually starts when? 6 o'clock p.m. on Friday. Everybody got that? Because the evening and the morning is the first day. So Israel, the children of Israel, they are not a 12 midnight to 12 midnight like we are. We're Gentiles. They're a 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., okay? That's why they had to get Jesus off the cross on Friday. You understand that? They had to get him off the cross on Friday night before 6 o'clock, or he had hung there for 2 days, and see, that had broke every scripture in the Bible. So he couldn't do it. They had to get him off the cross. What was the guy's name? Came and said, hey, I got a cave I can put him in, or I've got a thing that I can do it. Thank you, Joseph of Arimathea. Came in and gave... Said, look, we need to get him off. And they didn't remember, they just wrapped him up and basically just put him in the tomb. They were going back on Monday to anoint the body, to put the spices and everything on him. Well, that was a little late. Thank the Lord he was already up. He'd been anointed way past what they could anoint him. Amen. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. And actually Jesus did rest on the Sabbath. The human body was in the grave. Now, he was in another dimension, but they went ahead. That's what gets me. They went ahead with all that ritual. Jesus was sitting there confirming every one of them, and they're doing like we're talking about the Feast of Pentecost. That's why there was thousands of people in the book of Acts. That's why thousands of people. Why? It was a feast.
Right.
Everybody wants some of that good wheat. Everybody wants some of that good barley. So there was thousands. That's why there was 3,000 people that listened to Peter. And I'm sure all of Jerusalem was full of people. Because
right.
It was a feast.
That's right. Right.
All right. So 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day. Why can't we do that here? Why can't we gather on the feast day, the first day of the week, our first day of the week,
right.
And say, God, feed me
Amen.
The bread of life. Feed me
Amen.
What I've come to get. I've traveled to come here.
Right.
Might as well take something back with me.
Right.
Might as well.
Might as well.
You have to explain some of these things. They use too many syllables up north and all them add all them letters and all that other stuff in there.
Amen.
Amen. 6 days of work be done. And I know why you moved back. You need to just put you some plugs in your ear. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. And even remember in the Bible, it was so serious for our young people here. It was so serious in the Old Testament that there was a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And they stoned him and killed him because they found out he was doing something on the Sabbath. You didn't do anything because God wanted you to rest. All right? That's why God give crop rotation. Every 7 years, the seventh year, you let your land totally rest. You didn't plant nothing.
Right.
Why? You let it rejuvenate. You let it revive. Because what happens, and I'm seeing that now with some of the things we're doing in planting a garden, the plants pull so much nutrition up out of the ground till it makes the soil kind of a little bit sterile. You got to keep adding more fertilizer. But if you'll just let it rest for a year, and let some stuff die on top of it and let some leaves and let some all these different compost and, you know, let the chickens out and let them do their business and all that stuff.
Yep.
It rejuvenates the soil. But you know what God said? He said, look, 6 years you plant, seventh year, don't let it. Just eat whatever comes up.
Yep.
So that's what he's saying here. Same thing here. Work 6 days.
Yep.
Some of you hate that too.
Yeah.
Work 6 days. Where I'm used to it. I work for the post office. But anyway, you work 6 days, and then that seventh day, though, God said, y'all rest. Y'all rest. All
right?
You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. So now the first one, just for real quick, in the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover.
Right.
And as Brother Aaron was singing the song, we know that God told him, said, if you need to put a lamb, you need to take a lamb, you need to put it up, you need to kill it, and you need to put the blood over the doorpost. And as the death angel passed by, he was forbidden to turn past that blood. That's why it's so important to be saved. It's so important to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because you know what? If a death angel comes by, and you're born again, he has to go right on by.
That's right. Amen.
He has to. There is no power.
Amen.
There is no power stronger than that symbol of what Christ did on that cross.
Amen.
Amen. And the devil has to back off. So get born again. If you're not born again, please get born again, because you don't want that death. You know what? No one was spared in Israel. I don't care if you had plenty of money or if you had no money. Even Pharaoh's son, firstborn, that was in line to be king. God said, I'll take every firstborn if you don't do what I say. And of course, Pharaoh didn't do what he said. And you know what? He had to put his firstborn in the grave. All right. So God don't mess around. He's righteous. He's beautiful. He's gracious, but he's also a judge. That's why I like what Brother Dale's preaching about the chosen in him. Listen, if you didn't have a choice, you can't be a judge. How can God judge you if he don't give you a choice? Because
right.
If he said, I made you sin and I made you do what you did, smoke them cigarettes and all that other stuff, then all you got to do is when you come up to the white throne judgment, look and say, you made me do it.
Right.
But no. He said, you had a choice.
Amen.
You're the one that did that. I didn't motivate you to do that. I gave you a choice or a chance to be saved, and you turned it down. Don't ever, please, turn it down. Death angel comes by, but when he does, you see what happens. So in the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. That's why it's called Passover, because that night the death angel passed over the children of Israel. And like I said before, you and I, when you're born again, you're in a eternal Passover. You're an eternal Passover. Because you're covered. And that covering's going to take you into eternity. They just didn't know what they had. But we do. Thank God we're looking back on this side of the blood, and we're looking back and seeing that that was a substitute. But a real blood of a real human being that was God Almighty in human flesh got on a cross and gave it for me and you. Gave his whole life for me and you. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. Now let's go to the to the little points. So in Leviticus, you see that God told them, said the first month, now in Exodus, the first month is going to be Abib or Nisan, which is March and April. So their year starts in April. All right? So on the first day was this Nisan, and on the 10th day, you took the lamb. Now remember, the lamb had to be perfect. They didn't just bring a lamb and just throw it out there. Listen, Jesus Christ was a perfect lamb. Amen? 10th day, he was put up. And then on the 14th day in the evening, that's why Christ was crucified, heading towards 6 o'clock, each home had to kill their own lamb. This is an individual affair with God. Brother Donnie can give his life to God, but if it don't come to me, it's got to cover my house. Donnie's blood doesn't cover, Donnie's acceptance of the blood of Jesus doesn't cover my house. I have to accept the blood of Jesus. It's not that, well, now, Brother Dale, no, I know he's got... That means nothing to you. It's really nice to know that. But you got to have it on yours, because the death angel is going to say, I'll pass him, but I'm taking you, because you didn't do what Moses said. You didn't do what your prophet was told to tell you to do, which we know Moses did. What about that, though? Here's Moses. Moses gets the revelation, speaks to Aaron and says, go out among these 2 million people and tell them tonight. Tonight's the night. You got your lamb put up. This is the 14th day. Tonight is the night. Put your shoes on your feet. Get your staff in your hand. They just didn't know one thing was for sure. Those shoes that they put on, they were going to wear for 40 years. And the clothes they had on, they were going to wear for, remember the Bible said their clothes never wore out? Walmart would have went out of business if they'd have followed the children of Israel around. Well, hey, that's amazing, because you know what? Them little kids grew up to be 20 years old and 40 years old. Their clothes grew with them.
Right.
What a miracle.
Amen.
But you know what? The grace of God knew most of those weren't going to make it. But he gave them that anyway. Fed them every day. Gave them water every day. Make sure their clothes stayed on every day. And still knowing that they were going to turn him down at the end, most of them.
Right.
Now remember, this starts also unleavened bread. You had to eat unleavened bread. It was included. It had to be a lamb of firstborn. It just couldn't be a lamb out of the flock. It had to be firstborn. It had to be proven that it was the firstborn lamb. All right. Yeah. Jesus Christ was what? The first begotten, the firstborn son of God. All right. You had to be ready to go. You had to have blood over the door. And remember, I told you, God's always in motion, so he's ready to go. He needs to be gone. We need to get out of here. Listen, when you get born again, you just don't go run in the closet and sit down somewhere. No, on the day of Pentecost, they bust the doors down. So we're going to see that here in just a few minutes. There's blood over the door. Now remember, they had three things. I want you to keep these. I talk to myself about this a lot. It's the only time I have an intelligent conversation. That right there is a key, because look, without Moses, What was going to happen? Without Moses directing them. And without a prophet directing us in the end time. Amen? Without a prophet directing us in the end time. Giving us instruction. Those 1,100 sermons were instructions of what that Bible had already said. Not a different Bible. He didn't bring us anything different. Moses didn't bring them children of Israel anything different. He brought them exactly what God told him to tell them. And then he sent an angel to guide them. He sent us the Holy Ghost to guide us. That's what we're going to talk about in the day of Pentecost. And then there was a lamb right from the get-go. Brother Dale's been preaching on how the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Made sure he covered Adam before Adam even did anything. Because you know what? Here's a word y'all had never heard. He foreknew Adam was going to do that. So therefore, he foreknew we needed a lamb. But look, folks, all on the outside perished. No one was left or excluded. All perished outside of that shed blood of that lamb. There was no one exempt from it. What a sad day. Boy, talking about the children of Israel, though, you know what a glad day, though. All those firstborn of the children of Israel, they were like, we made it. We made it. We did it right. And I think that's what we need to do. When we come to the house of God, when we get a revelation, when we go up that statue of perfect man, when we see there's growth development in our life, we should say, we made it. We got some, we listened to the right instruction. We listened to the right God. We accepted the lamb's blood. And all the outside perished. All right, now unleavened bread. That was the next one. So this is the next feast. Remember, it's tied in though with the feast of Passover. Has everybody got that? We've been over it. On the 15th day, now that was 14th day, this is the 15th day of the same month, is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So it's a 7-day feast now. In the first day, you'll have a holy convocation. In other words, no servile work, no service work. You can cook and bake bread and all that other, but you cannot do any service work. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. Now in the 7th day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work or service work therein. So the first day, so here we are. Let's look in Jerusalem just for a minute. If we don't get all this done, we got next Sunday. Look on in Jerusalem. You see, leave it right there. You see in Jerusalem, you've coming up to the Feast of Passover. They killed the Paschal Lamb. I'm talking about in Israel 2,000 years ago. They're over here. Caiaphas is doing a couple of things. Caiaphas is trying to put Jesus on the cross, and he's trying to get the Passover done. Because the Passover, you got to kill the lamb, right? Then that very next day is unleavened bread, that right? Easy, buddy, easy. Whew, man, that's craziness. That's all outside perish. Goodness, I'm not him, but I mean, look, I was thinking the other day, and I'm serious as I can be. Where would we be without the Lord? Where would we be without what we know? Not just say, well, we're message people. That don't mean nothing. No, we're born again Christians, the closest to Christianity that the world will ever know. Now, what are we doing with it? We don't look down on them people out there. We feel sorry for them. But if they don't get the same experience you do, the death angel one day is going to come knocking on the door. You know what, though? If he comes knocking on our door, he goes knocking on the door, he's going to go, that feels a little different. That's kind of hot. There's a fire in that thing. That's a holy fire. I better leave that alone. That's what he did with Job. He left Job alone after a while because God's like, hey, keep going. You'll find out he's a good guy. Unleavened bread. 7 days. You must eat unleavened bread. First day is a holy convocation. Last day is a holy convocation. You do no work therein. So we talked about going up the statue of a perfect man. We're just backgrounding a little bit. And we're also talking about the seven church ages, how the first church age and the last church age had to, the restoration of the seventh church age had to be back to the first. Amen? Because the first church age had the original baptism rite. They had no denominational ideas. Well, you know, some did in other places, but I'm talking about the pure word of God was being preached up until 300 AD at Nicaea and all these different things come piling in. But they had it right. Signs and wonders. They had just come out of Pentecost. They knew what they were doing. They were missionaries to the world. And now what did God have to do? He had to send some, that same spirit right back in the end time through a prophet to give us instruction, because we had lost the instruction. Listen, they had the instruction manual the whole time. They just didn't know how to read it. They had the map upside down. They had added places that didn't need to be added, like Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism and all those Trinitarian ideas that never in the Bible, never has been, never will be. But you shall offer an offering by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And then the seventh day of the holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's go to the book of Exodus. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. And leaven, now remember, leaven is a type of sin. Everybody got that? Because it's an addition. But you got to remember, God's fixing to use that addition to show Himself. Pay attention, because we're going to have to start adding, we're going to have to add leaven here in Pentecost. Something that if it was caught, your soul will be cut off. What? At the wrong time. Huh? We're all leaven. People, we all were born in sin.
Right.
We've all got, this is leaven.
Right.
But he's talking about the leaven or doctrine of the Pharisees and all the different things that Jesus was talking about in the type of, and thank God for a prophet. Thank God for an instructional prophet.
Right.
Because we look at that and we, well, when we, in a minute we're going to see, all right, leaven's got to be gone. It's nothing but sin. And then we're going to see leaven added. The prophet of God on conduct, order, and doctrine tells us exactly what the two loaves are and what they're for.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
And I'm sure probably Israel or some of those Jewish rabbis are shaking their head and scratching their head going, leaven's not good, now it's good.
Yeah.
You know what? They didn't have an instructor.
Right.
Their instructor left the scene several thousand years ago called Moses. I was reading a few minutes ago where Brother Branham said, he said, Luther's message was fine, but let's don't try to stay on Luther's message. Why? Because you got to progress. All right, same way with Moses. Moses brought the Ten Commandments. Well, people, we can't stay in the Ten Commandments. We got to know that they're the seals. We got to know that it's a progression into the end time that our prophet brought. Because remember, they walked up to Jesus, and Jesus is standing there, the very word himself, and they said, we got Moses' quote book. We got the first, what is it, Torah? We got the Torah, we got Moses, we got, in other words, we got 1,100 sermons from Moses. We got the books. Read it right here. Jesus said, if you'd have known Moses, you'd have known me.
Right.
Why? Because he was the word. He was actually the one that wrote the book.
Right.
I know why he cried a lot. Brother Ray, I know why Jesus Christ cried a lot. When he came to this earth and saw how rejected he was. And he was the very word. He was the very Passover lamb. Did everything right to the T. And they called him a devil. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Because remember, it's that 7 days. So during the church ages, every church age had a messenger that brought a pure and unleavened word to the people. Every church age. Brought a pure, unleavened word to the people.
Right.
Now, they started adding their own leaven.
Right. Yeah.
But they were adding it not in their home. They were adding it in the pulpit. Or they were adding, see, they were adding, They were adding it in there at their altar. Which you ain't supposed to do that. The Bible says in your habitation.
Amen.
It's where you gotta add it. Alright? In the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and the seventh day shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. That's why you come to church and you eat.
Amen.
You're not supposed to do anything else. Come to church and eat.
That's right.
All right? We didn't come here for a social event. We come here to feast.
Right.
Amen. All right, let's go to the next one. Feast of First Fruits. This was from last Sunday. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and saying to them, when ye be coming to the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof. All right, so they're going to reap a mature harvest.
Right.
All right. Then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest unto the priest. So in other words, for an example, you look out in a field of wheat, and even our corn and all different things, our okra is in all different stages. All right, because some come up better, some get more nutrition, some get more sun, some get more water. But you take the one that's headed out first, the one that's up a little bit higher than the rest. Now, it doesn't mean he's not wheat. Doesn't mean he's not barley. And it doesn't mean the whole field's not barley. It's just the first one to come to a maturity.
Right.
All right? Because that's what we're looking at as Christians. In this church, we believe in maturing.
Amen.
Amen. We believe in maturing. All right? We don't believe in just, well, I'm wheat. No, we believe in striving to be the best wheat we can be.
Amen.
Amen. Be the first wheat.
Amen.
And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord. Sheaf wave.
Yes.
I love that. I had a preacher do that one time. He said, you know, there was a heave offering where you heaved it up, the heave shoulder, you heaved it up and you waved the wave offering. Well, what does that make? The cross. The heave offering and the wave offering. Was a total cross right there in front. They're showing the whole thing, and there was a lamb on Calvary up on top of the hill, and they didn't know a thing about it. But thank God we do.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God we do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But he didn't die for y'all. Nope. No, he died for me. You got to say he died for you. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for what? For you. On the morrow after the Sabbath. So it would be on a Sunday.
Yeah,
I got it right.
Because
I got it wrote up here on top of my every page. And you, after the Sabbath, so you had to wait for a Sabbath. That's why I said I want y'all to understand. This was what happened when Jesus died, crucified, and raised. Hardly ever happens. That all three of them feast days, boom, boom, boom. Hardly ever. Why? Because if the Passover was on the 14th day of the month, right? We said 14th day of the month. That don't mean it was on Friday every time. The 14th could have been on a Monday. Well, if the 14th was on Monday, unleavened bread started on Tuesday, it was the next Monday, or the Monday following, Sunday following. See, there it went again. Thank you. The Sunday following, before the wave, see, there was a gap in there for a few days, several days.
Right.
But right here, when Christ comes and he dies on Friday, buried in the grave on Saturday, comes back to life on Sunday,
right.
Which is the first fruits.
Right.
And I love that because that shows, I like what Brother Brown said. Brother Brown said that proved who he was.
Right.
Oh, there was many people hanging on a cross, but there was only one man. There's only one man that rose back out of that grave, never to die again. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering, remember there's three offerings, the burnt, the meal, and the drink. Three. Three is a perfection. And what's the last one? Wine. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. The fourth part of a hen. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears. Now remember, that connects with barley, because we're going to tell you what same thing what happened. It was a barley harvest was the first harvest. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the self-same day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. In other words, it was establishing that you couldn't eat anything in that field until that priest offered that sheaf wave. Same thing with you and I, with headship. Christ, listen, we couldn't say the things we say unless Christ did it first. He was the resurrection that even if we have to pass away physically from this earth and go wait in another dimension, I'm putting everything I got on that guy 2,000 years ago being the first one up out of the ground. Because being that he come to maturity, there's a whole field. I read that to you. There's a whole field that's going to come to maturity and be able to do the same thing he did. All my dependence is on that man came out of that grave and he came back on the day of Pentecost and me and you. What we're fixing to talk about here in just a minute. Everybody all right? I know it's the middle of the week and everybody's kind of tired, but I got to work the same as you do. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. So that, to me, I look at that, Brother Donnie, and I see Ephesians, where it says, for the perfecting of the saints, that I'm going to give you apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to get that first sheaf, to get that fresh fruit, and then break it out to the field. And not to say, hey, I did this first. No, that's not the characteristic. No. No, but it is got to be that way. Not that way, but the way of headship is where the preacher gets it first and then you get it. He gets the first, the sheaf wave. You know, Christ, first sheaf wave. We read the scripture. Then you and I fall in behind. And that's all right with me. You hear Brother Branham was talking about the women not taking headship anymore, that Christ was the head of the church and the husband is the head of the house. He was explaining it. Why? Because headship is important. You and I must realize you and I need Christ, our headship, in order to survive. It's like Brother Dale said, you know, the first attribute of God was to be a father. He had children. Everything else is a benefit. Right. Angels is a benefit. All the earth was a benefit. Right. The stars were a benefit. Right. But he had to have children. Right. That was his heart's desire. He set every bit of this up on having children, having kids. Everything. This whole Bible is set up because he had children. And he was going to put them in the worst church age there was, and stick a coronavirus in us, around us. But he knew what we'd do with it.
Right.
He knew what we would do. All right, so let's go. All right, let me read. Go right there, 1 Corinthians. If in this life only, like I said Sunday, this is a little tricky if you don't read it right. If in this life only, this life, Paul was standing, talking to the Corinthians. He said, in this life, look, if this is what I got to live in for eternity, don't want it. This. You understand what I'm saying? At this moment, that's what he's saying. If in this life only we have hope. Well, I hope I will. I might will. I think maybe Christ died for me. No. We are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, Adam, by man, Christ, also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. In other words, church age by church age by church age by church age. Christ being the first fruit. Afterwards, that's me. They that are Christ at his coming. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
So now remember, the term first fruit, this is not up here, but it was what I was read to you the other day. The term first fruit is there's means there's more to come because when it constitutes first fruit. Because remember, if you're an only child, you're really not a firstborn. You were the firstborn, but for being firstborn puts you in a position that there's others to be born behind you. So being the first fruits means there's more fruit behind it. All right? It's kind of simple that way. When a priest waved the sheaf of the barley harvest before the Lord as the first fruits, he was thanking God for the abundant harvest that they were about to have. Christ had to die 2,000 years ago. He had to resurrect. He had to come back into the people on the day of Pentecost to begin being the first fruit, but to begin the harvest of the whole wheat field of all the little bride from all around the churches, all around the world. From Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, they were just fields upon fields, but Christ had to do it first. So there had to be a first fruit, all right? The first fruit was the very first of the harvest, as it was only the beginning of the abundant harvest as was about to follow. So it constitutes, if this came to maturity, they some more that's going to start popping their head up, all right? He was the first fruit of the resurrection means that he was the first of the resurrection that would never see death again. Because remember, Lazarus resurrected. Jairus' daughter resurrected, but there was a time that they died. Okay? But not this resurrection. Because he was the first fruit. He was not going to lay his head down again. Nope. No, he was done. He was come to full maturity. Meant that he was the first of the resurrection that would never see death. The abundance of the harvest of the resurrection means that there will be an abundance of resurrection in the future. All right? And remember, the day of the feast, watch what happened. Brother Anderson, if you'll pull up that the chart. He'll have to find it. Just give him time to find it. There we go. So now, for those of you that are new, this is just like our 12-month calendar. This is the calendar of Israel. It's just made in a wheel. And Nisan is the first. This would be our January, February, March if it was us. But their Nisan falls in our April, March and April. Everybody got that? Because now here you've got spring feast and you've got fall feast. All right. Now remember, Jesus came and fulfilled every one of these and then he's left it for his return to fulfill those other ones. But he's not going to fulfill them in body form. He's going to fulfill them in this body.
Right.
Amen. All right. So here's the setup. Here's Passover on the 14th day of Nisan, the very next day. Remember the Bible said on the 15th of the month. So the first fruits come on the Sunday after, like I said, that all could fall in a different place and there could be a gap right in here. But when Jesus was crucified on Passover, he stayed in the grave on Saturday. Sunday morning, he rose being the first fruits. And here was the priest out in the field probably that morning, early that morning. Jesus was coming out of the tomb and he probably didn't even see it. And here's the priest out there going, and the guy brings him a thing and says, oh, here's the first fruit. Everybody can eat now. We can eat. And here's Jesus Christ just in a point standing behind him. Just come out of a grave, changed back to a young man, and they didn't know it. They didn't know it, but you and I know that happened for a fact. So boom, 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 there's your first three feasts that Jesus Christ was right there fulfilling the first three, boom, boom, boom. All right? Everybody got that? And that was the timing. And remember, I know a lot of people enjoyed this, and you got to remember, that was a barley harvest, not a wheat harvest. Barley matures first. But remember, we also showed you that barley was a common or a poor man's bread. Because remember, in Revelations it says, I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts, one measure of wheat for a penny, but you could get three measures of barley for a penny. Everybody got that? So, barley was a poor man's bread. And I like what the scripture says. The scripture says the common people heard him gladly. It was common barley bread that came out of that tomb. No beauty that we should desire him. All those scriptures talks about him. But you know what? He was made a little lower than the angel. So he could suffer for me and you. So that, you know what? So that the important wheat harvest, the important wheat harvest could come a little bit later. Because the barley matured first. Christ had to mature first. The barley matured first. Then the wheat that they planted is going to be another 7 weeks before it comes to maturity. All right? So what happened? We see that Christ came, and then now he's pointing. Now, what did Christ say? He said, go tarry. And that's why if you'll listen to what Brother Brown says, this is what's so beautiful about you see a prophet tell us things, and we go, well, Brother Brown said we'll be around here 30, 40 days after the rapture. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said, right? 30 to 40 days, we'll be here after the rapture. Where did he get that? Because watch how perfect it is. When Jesus ascended, there was 11 days left to the Feast of Pentecost. So he was around here about 40 days. Brother Ray? He was around here about 40 days because he resurrected on the first fruits. He resurrected, and then that was the day after the Sabbath. So that started your seven sevens. But he ascended because he told them, he said, go to Jerusalem. And I believe even in Schofield, it tells you that that was 11 days before the day of Pentecost that he ascended. He couldn't have been here on the day of Pentecost in flesh. He could not. Because he was coming back in me and you. Oh, how perfect. Sometimes we hear these things Brother Brown says, and we go, where'd he get that at? Well, just look. Just look around a little bit. He didn't just pull numbers out of the sky.
Right.
All right. Moses didn't pull numbers, and he didn't pull numbers out of the sky. All right. So now let's go to the last one before we go to Pentecost. And if we get just a little bit, we'll finish it Sunday. So let's go back to Nehemiah 10, verse 34. The one y'all love to talk. Nobody to a person thanked me for talking about tithe after the service was over. Thank you, Sarah. Sarah said, that's totally after the 4 days, 3 days later. So, but everybody was like, oh, we love that barley and that wheat and we like this and we like them numbers and we like not one person. Nehemiah 10 says, and we cast lots among the priests, the Levites and the people. I was thinking the other day, as you're reading this, just think about it. Esther, think about this. But no, look. And Brother Dale would never ask this, but I'm telling you this for an example. Frida went today and bought a bag of potatoes. That was 10 pounds, right? 5 pounds? Cheap. So let's say she bought 10. Let's say she bought 10. That makes it a little bit better. So what she would do is she would take 9 pounds and keep it and take 1 pound, put it in a sack, and take it to Brother Dale's house. If every one of you did that with everything you bought, you'd never lose that 10%, and he couldn't get through that door. The way mama cooked. But no, you see, Brother Dale's always proved how God has always set this thing up.
Right.
To where he don't need no man
right.
to run this thing.
Right.
He don't need a welfare program
right.
to run his house. So if you had 10 pounds of beans, you keep 9 pounds, you take 1 pound, put it in the sack, and give it to Brother Dale. Now, if 6 or 7 of y'all did that, he'd have green beans forever.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying, though? That's kind of what this was.
Right. Right.
And we cast lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God after the house of our fathers at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God as is written in the law. and to bring first fruits of our ground. Now that's first fruits of veggies. Stuff that grows out of the ground that's not trees. Because look, you give another one of the first fruit of all the fruit of the trees. Apricots, olives, whatever grows on a tree. See, you got all that. You know, you take and get a big old basket of pecans and you got 100 pounds and you keep 90 and you give 10 to the priest. Also the first fruit of all fruit of the trees. So that's the first fruit. In other words, you didn't keep 90 and give him 10. You give him 10 and kept 90. So that's what I do with my tithe. I don't keep 90 and give 10. I give God 10 and he allows me to work 90% of it. And that's pretty good. All right. And I probably won't get anybody to say they enjoyed this after this service either, so that's okay. All the tithing and marriage and divorce, you just don't play with. Also the first, people get all upset. All the firstborn of our sons. Remember what happened when Jesus had to go to the temple and had to be circumcised. But you know, all down through time, you see the firstborn of the sons and cattle. See, you could do that. Some of you, well, we've got cattle. Maybe somebody else had a goat or a sheep or whatever. You keep your cats. But stuff to eat, if you had a bull and you weighed 500 pounds, you know, or 1,000 pounds, you keep 900. And boy, you're going to have we'll get you another freezer. Because I just feel they every one going to flock right in and do what, yeah. Listen, you don't have to, but what I'm saying is, it's funny, but it's not, because God set this thing up to where he can feed everybody. He's feeding every one of these. He's not only feeding, he's feeding the priest, the high priest, and the people.
Right.
Man. Don't you think that's what we're going to do in the millennium? I believe that's what we're going to do. And I like what Brother Claude said. Brother Claude said, hey, even in the future home, he said, all them people out there, they're growing gardens and they're growing things. They're going to bring their first fruits into the city. And we're going to be able to enjoy them.
Right.
What? We're going to plant food? Yeah, I believe it will.
Yeah.
We don't have to. We're the bride. We don't have to, but they will. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as is written in the law. And the firstling of our herds and of our flocks. To bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God.
Right.
And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough.
Right.
And our offerings, and the fruit of all manner of trees, and of wine, I'm going to be careful with that one, and of oil,
yeah,
unto the priest, to the chambers of the house of our God. Now watch. And the tithes of our ground unto the Levites,
right,
that the same Levites might have the tithe in all the cities of our tillage.
Right.
Run the whole program,
right,
off of that right there.
Right.
God's whole program is run by giving a tithe to the Levites and the priest.
Right.
Then remember, we read that one, that long one, where that they had a tithe every 3 years.
Yep.
You don't want to talk about that one. It's a tithe every 3 years that kept the government running, or whatever it was, the social programs and all that stuff. And it come out to 23 and whatever percent our tax rate is, I guess. Is it still 20-something percent, 23%? But anyway, God did that. And you know what? The people brought it in gladly.
Right. Amen.
I mean, my heavens, how much squash have we give all y'all? Thousands of pounds. But you know what? We brought it gladly.
Right.
Not begrudgingly. Now, when all them 49 squash plants came up, I was a little begrudged. But you know what? God said, hey, I'm going to make them all live, and you give all my people some squash. Because I didn't think any of them was going to live that I transplanted from that big ball that Mama had thrown out a year before that looked like a chia pet growing up out of the ground. So I thought, well, a few of these will make it. And I planted them, I planted them in a long row about from here to that door. Everyone lived. Amen. Just so y'all can have some squash. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I won't get thanked for the tithe part, but I got thanked for getting the squash. All right, we got about 10 minutes. Try to close at 8:30. All right, here we go. Now we're going to the Feast of Pentecost. Now pull the chart back up real quick. Brother Anderson's got it, man. He's got them arms. See there? Told you. Right here. He's even got the marker on it. Look, he's pointing right there. So Pentecost is called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost, which Penta is what?
50.
Thank you. And also it's 5 because of the Pentagon. But it's called the Feast of Weeks because God's fixing to tell us. Now go back to it. Leviticus 23:15. We read it first of the sermon here. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. So the day after Saturday, which is Sunday. I did that real quick so I could remember. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the weight of, in other words, Christ came out of the tomb on Sunday morning. The very day of the sheaf wave. They're waving the sheaf and he's standing there going, here I am. They still didn't believe. His own people didn't even believe who he was. Well, he'd already changed back to a young man. That's why they didn't know who he was. From the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths. So they had to count on their calendar 7 Sabbaths, which is 7. How many days in a week?
7.
So 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. So you had to complete 7 Sabbaths, even unto the morrow after the, because remember, 7 sevens is what? 49 is not a penta.
Right.
Pentecost is 50.
Right.
So it's the morrow after, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, excuse me, shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering. Totally new. We've been 49 days. We're heading into the 50th day since our last feast of the sheaf wave. But now what you got to do is you got to take that wheat now.
Yeah.
You got to take wheat, not barley. Barley's already harvested.
Right.
Christ has already gone to glory.
Right.
Barley's already lifted up off the earth.
Right.
Now we've got wheat.
Even
unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation, there's the key, 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deal. Now you're become tithing. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. Oh my. 49 days ago, you supposed to got rid of that. Or 50, 60 days ago when it ever started. You supposed to got rid of it. Now you got to get it back in, but now he's telling you this is now a feast that you're going to have to put leaven back into it.
Right.
All right. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. So what you did in your house, you went and picked the wheat, not the preacher, not the priest. You went and picked it. Bible says study to show yourself approved. You go get the best of the best. And you take it into your habitation. And oh, you gotta heat it hot. I mean, you gotta bake it. I love what Brother Branham said. I was in there reading it when, you know, Jesus one time, it said it was barley loaves. But he said, what in the world kind of Adam did he have in his hand when he took them 5 loaves and every time he pulled a loaf off, it wasn't dough. It was cooked bread. And he kept feeding. It fed 5,000 people. He just sitting there doing this. And one already cooked to be right back on there. He said, what kind of power? Well, that same kind of power is in me and you.
Right.
That is the creative power to change somebody. To change me and you from a life of sin to a life in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's got to be bacon. It's got to go through an oven.
Right.
They are the first fruits unto the Lord. So you bring them to the Lord.
Right.
All right. Because you do have something to do with this.
Right.
And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, 1 young bullock, 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering. Now we can get into all that, but let's just stay with this right now. And 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of a peace offering. There's a lot going on here in this Feast of Pentecost. It's not just you got 1 lamb and then you've got unleavened bread and then you've got a sheaf wave of first fruit and no, this is a big deal. That's why that on the day of Pentecost there were so many people in Jerusalem. They wanted to eat some of this stuff. It had become a feast instead of a holy day almost. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the same day that it's a holy convocation unto you. You proclaim.
That's right. Amen.
It's a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll what? I'll give you rest. I'll give you a feast day where you ain't got to do no work. Right? Remember Boaz and Ruth? Remember Ruth was resting while Boaz... Listen, you can't save yourself. You can't save yourself. God has to do the work. It's God calling you anyway. And it shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt make not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger.
Hallelujah.
I am the Lord your God. Leave them some handfuls of purpose.
Right.
You know what? When we leave this earth, sure, the wheat and the tares are going to be, but guess who's going to get some? Guess who's going to get some? Israel's going to get some. They're going to get some baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it's after God's done harvested me and you. And we're out of here. Amen? All right, let's read this right here. This is from the Greek lexicon. Pentecost. We'll just read this and we'll... Got 2 quotes, and then we'll come back on a little bit next Sunday. Pentecost. Penta meaning the 50th day, our harvest feast, our feast of weeks, because it's 7 sevens, all right? May be regarded as a supplement to the Passover. It lasted for but 1 day. From the 16th day of Nisan, 7 weeks were reckoned inclusively, and the next, our 50th day, was the day of Pentecost, which fell on the 6th of Sivan, near the end of May, and it tells you the Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. The Pentecost was the Jewish harvest home, and the people were especially exhorted to rejoice before Jehovah with their families. Now, we're going to hear a sound from rushing mighty wind in a few minutes and see how that family got started. Hello? Amen? Before Jehovah with their families, their servants, the Levites within their gates, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. In the place chosen by God for his name, as they brought a freewill offering of their hand to Jehovah their God. Deuteronomy 16. Watch this. The great feature of the celebration was the presentation of 2 loaves made from the first fruits of the wheat harvest. With the loaves, 2 lambs were offered as a peace offering, and all were waved before Jehovah and given to the priest. The loaves being leavened could not be offered on the altar. It had to come from you.
That's right.
The other sacrifices were. All the other sacrifices were on the altar. A burnt offering of a young bullock, 2 rams, 7 lambs for the meat and drink offering, kid for the sin offering. Until the Pentecostal loaves were offered, the produce of the harvest could not be eaten. In other words, they didn't get the Holy Ghost on the 49th day. They couldn't get the Holy Ghost. They had to wait till the 50th day. The Bible says in the book of Acts when the day of Pentecost was fully come. All right?
Amen?
The whole ceremony was the completion of the dedication of the harvest to God as its giver, and to whom both the land and the people were holy, which was begun by the offering of the wave sheaf at the Passover. So Christ had to die, but this is the culmination of that death, burial, resurrection, and now ascension, and now coming back on the day of Pentecost. The interval is still regarded as a religious season. The Pentecost is the only one of the three great feasts which is not mentioned as the memorial of events in the history of the Jews. But such a significant, why wasn't it significant to the Jews? Because it's significant to us. It's significant to us. Because they haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. Amen? They haven't had their Pentecost. But such a significance has been found in the fact, watch this. Did you know this? The law was given on the 50th day. Oh, thank God. Amen. On the 50th day when they went out of Egypt, God gave them the law.
Amen.
But such a significance has been found in the fact that the law was given from Mount Sinai on the 50th day after the deliverance from Egypt. In the Exodus, the people were offered to God as being first fruits. At Sinai, their consecration to Him as a nation was completed.
Right.
You and I, the day of Pentecost, we all have to have a day of Pentecost.
Right. Right.
You say, oh, that happened 2,000 years. It better happen to you one day, one night, one morning, one evening. Doesn't matter, but you got to go through just what they went through.
Right.
All right? Amen? But that's real significant how that happened. 50 days after Jesus resurrected, we didn't get law, we got grace.
Right.
But they couldn't get grace at that point. You understand what I'm saying? At that point, sure it was grace. But they got the law. God came down and gave them 10 commandments.
Right.
On the 50th day after they had left Israel, or left Egypt. Amen? So now let's read these two quotes and then we'll be done. And I'll cover a little bit more of what Brother Brown said about this. But the two loaves because of the addition of leaven is this right here. Because Christ, He had to take on leaven. Amen? He took on leaven. You and I were born leaven. But baking in the fire, we're going to rise because He rose. So there's your two loaves. But we'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. Now Brother Brown said, watch. Now we've lost the joy. We've lost these things and we can't find them among our kindred. We can't find them. Then there's one thing to do. Go back where we left him at. The church should go back to the beginning where they left him. And that's exactly what Mary and Joseph. Remember, Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for 3 days. It was during the Feast of Pentecost. They had all went to Jerusalem to celebrate and they were heading back home. They left Jesus at the Feast of Pentecost. That's where Mary and Joseph left Jesus. Now, I say this to all due consideration and respect. That's where both Catholic and Protestant, he didn't leave nobody out, left Jesus was at the Feast of Pentecost. You can't find him searching around here through creeds and denominations. The denominations and creeds and all should go back to the beginning. Amen? All right, let's read the second one and we'll be done. Questions and answers on the Holy Ghost. Now, we're in Acts 1. Now, listen, close now. You got the picture. Outside the building, the little stairway went up. They went into this little room. Down in the temple, they were having the Feast of Pentecost. In other words, they were having their big feast. Didn't have a clue the Holy Ghost was fixing to fall because it didn't fall on them. It fell on these people in the upper room. Why? Because their instructor told them where to go. And wait till you be endued with a little bit of power. No. With power from on high, or what we're preaching the other Sunday, dunamis. That's dynamite power, dunamis power. That's not the other power, exousia. It's dunamis power. Oh, there was a great time going on now when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one mind, believing that God was going to send that promise. And let every person in here get in the same mind tonight and see what takes place. It's got to repeat. It's a promise just the same as they had. What were they doing? Watch. Following the instructions.
Amen.
Following the laws of God. Wait until. Now they were scared of the Jews. Now remember that. They were afraid of the Jews. Now, all of a sudden, there came a sound like a rushing wind.
Yeah.
It was no rushing wind. It was like a rushing wind.
Right.
Now, this is our instructor telling us exactly what happened. I'll read the comments just in a few minutes on the translator. It was like a rushing wind. In other words, it was a supernatural wind.
Right.
Oh, something they could feel. The wind was inside them.
Amen.
It wasn't a whoosh. Ain't going to do a bit of good for a wind to come whipping through this building. I'll just maybe just knock our hair out of place and all other stuff. But if it comes inside,
amen.
There come a rushing wind. The wind was inside them. There come a rushing wind like a rushing wind. The wind wasn't rushing, but it sounded like a rushing wind. You remember that sermon Brother Branham was preaching? You could hear that wind coming through. He said the next day, he said, did y'all hear that? Brother Branham makes the sound of wind. Did you ever feel it? Oh my, like a rushing wind. Now watch. And it filled. Now here it is, all the, but in the Greek it said whole, capital W-H-O-L-E, the whole house. The whole house.
Right.
Everywhere in there, every crack, corner, crevice seemed to be full of it. Amen. Wonderful. Let's read these two scriptures and let's see where exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. Luke 24:45 says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things.
Amen.
And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued or consumed with power from on high. Let's read the next scripture. This is the actual happening. Acts 2 verse 1 through 8. Musicians, get ready to come. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Like as of fire. Wasn't fire. Like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation. See, every nation had come together for this feast of Pentecost under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language.
Right.
That's the way it's going to be. We ain't going to need an interpreter in the new city, but I'm going to be able to speak English. And the Spanish guy's going to be able to hear it in Spanish. And the Italian guy's going to be able to hear it in Italian.
Amen.
Ain't God going to change? Well, anyway, that's just the way I see it. Because that's what happened right there.
Right.
And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? God's showing us just a little bit of the future home. How are we going to be able to communicate with each other?
Amen.
But there had to be a sound of a much rushing mighty wind first. Musicians, come on. There had to be a Pentecost. There had to be a 50. Not a 49. There had to be a 50. Because they said, oh, Brother Branham, we may cover that next Sunday. Oh, Brother Branham, you've run out of your types. He said, no. Now he said, after that, there's a holy convocation, an extra day, an eighth day. The Bible says on the eighth day, there was a holy convocation. Because what happened to those people, Brother Paul, they were in a 49, they were heading to a 50, but when they hit that 50, they went into eternity.
Right.
They went into an eight because you're sevens and sevens and sevens and sevens. Brother Brown says, there's an eight.
Right.
And that's when you and I enter into eternity. Peter, Paul, James, John, all those received the Holy Ghost and boom, moved right over into an eternal day. You say, no, they're all dead. No, their human body is. Their leaven died. That's out somewhere, but they're waiting on me and you. Let's stand to our feet. They're waiting on me and you to come to a place that we not only have our Pentecost, but you know what? They were enjoying the Feast of Pentecost. It was a feast. They were enjoying being there. They wasn't sad because they had to come to church and sit and listen for a little while and now I gotta go to this and I, no, they were happy. It was a feast. And God promised them, and we'll read it a little bit later on. This is one of the feasts that God required that all males under the age of 20, there was three feasts that they had to come to. This was one of them. Why? That's something you gotta come to. Me and you gotta come to this feast. Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles, showing that it's got something to do with you, with your body, with you accepting Christ, and with God changing us in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Let's sing a song.
Number 548, He's changing me. From glory to glory, He's changing me.
548.
From glory to glory, He's changing me, changing me. Changing me,
His likeness and image to perfect in me,
the love of God shown to the world, for He's changing, changing me from earthly things to the heavenly, His likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world.
Sing it to Him.
Oh, from glory to glory, He's changing me, changing me. He's changing me, His likeness and image to perfect in me. The love of God shown to the world.
He's showing it through me and you.
He's changing, changing me from earthly things to heavenly, His likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world, from glory to glory, He's changing me,
changing me, changing me, His likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world, for He's changing, changing me from earthly things
exactly what it set out to do, Lord. We thank You for helping our sisters to bring it to our attention, Lord, to pray for our Lord. We pray that You just touch our Lord in Jesus' name. Amen.
World, for He's changing me from earthly things to heavenly, His likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world.
You know, Brother Paul, I always tell them, there Satan was, he hated Jesus, he hated everything, anything going on around Jesus, he hated. But you know, if he'd have left Jesus alone, that body would have died eventually, because it was a human body. We know that wasn't a plan, but what if? But Satan put him up there on that cross, and he killed one man. One man. He said, I got him now. I got him. He's out of the way. There ain't no more coming. He was it. That's it. Done. Satan just didn't know that about 50 days later, there was 120 little Jesuses got born. And then about a few hours later, 3,000 little Jesuses got born. Now there's been Jesuses been born all over the world. Poor old devil, he just don't know what to do. But he did. He did fulfill the plan of God. So you and I, on the good side, need to start fulfilling the plan of God. I was thinking the other day, hang on a minute. In your life today, what we're doing now, with all this coronavirus and all this, Claude and I were talking about today, it's not, I mean, look, folks, this is not a persecution. We're still eating. We still look like we need a persecution. But, no, what I'm saying is, though, but it's the beginning of. It's setting things in motion. But you know what? You and I were told what's going to happen. And there's no way that you can store it. Now, sure, it's good to store up food, a little bit of money, a little bit of... But God's the one that's going to take us through this thing. No amount of money. Peter walked up on the, after the day of Pentecost, and here's Peter, and he quit fishing. Jesus told him, said, now you're a fisher of men. So he quit fishing, so he didn't have no money. But what did he do when he walked up to that man at the gate beautiful? He said, alms, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. Peter's going. He didn't even have a billfold. He's silver and gold have I none. In other words, I don't have a MasterCard, gold MasterCard. He said, but such that I have. In other words, I'd give you some money to go to the doctor. But I got something way past that doctor. I got something that I can give you. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have. Do we have that? If you're born again today, you have that. You don't have to search for it. You have it. It's in your power to reach over and touch somebody and say, silver and gold have I none. Sure, I'll pay you to go to the doctor. But the great physician will help you right now. So don't worry about that. Don't worry. Listen, worry brings fear. Fear brings torment. Hold fast. I'm telling you, nobody's ever come to your door and said all seven of your kids are dead. They've stole all your camels. They've stole all your donkeys. And you have zero left. And then a few days later, that wasn't it. Satan goes back to God and says, well, let me get at him. God says, go ahead. And instantly he's got boils from his, daddy's had them, but not from his sole of his feet to the top of his head. He's sitting on an ash heap with boils scraping it with a piece of pottery. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Middle of the week, Lord, we pray that you'd be with us. Lord, take care of us. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Just keep us strong, not only strong in body, but strong in faith. That we believe, Lord, that you are the healer. There is nothing formed. There is nothing out there that is stronger than you, Lord. We pray that you would touch each one, be with the ones that are sick, be with the ones that are not with us. Be with us, Lord, as we come back together on Sunday. That we'll be rejuvenated, Lord, that the power that's in us already by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we can start giving it out to the people. And Lord, let them benefit like the man did from Peter. He benefited from what Peter had. But I pray, Lord, that you'd touch us, Lord. Be with us. Keep us all safe till we return again on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. And the bride says, amen. You're dismissed.
Ain't God good?